Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I'm your host each Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. I'm glad that you've joined me, and I hope you'll stick around for the next hour or so as we spend our time in God's Word this morning. Mornings for the Master is heard each weekday here on TGRN at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And each day there is a different host and a different course of study, and I hope that you are availing yourselves to these programs as well as all the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. Now, every Thursday here for some time now, we have been studying the book of Daniel, and today we are going to conclude our study of Daniel. Today we are looking at that final vision of Daniel. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in chapter 11 and verse 36, and we'll complete our study today as we consider the last part of that vision of the time of the end. Now, if you missed previous programs, you can go to the on-demand section of the TGRN website, and there you can pick up previous programs of this or any other program. So now let's get to our study for today as we conclude this book of Daniel. And let's go to our text, and we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36 going to the end of the chapter. Let's begin. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the god of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge, and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the kings of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. He shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that point, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the final vision that is recorded by Daniel. This vision is a clear, insightful depiction of what will affect Daniel's people. Of course, that being Israel. Now, we don't understand all of it, but we get the point. Notice chapter 10 and verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. Now describing events, he said in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. And the words of this vision were closed and sealed till the time of the end. Notice verse 9. And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And so, this is one of the reasons that this vision has been called the vision of the time of the end. Now, if we go back to chapter 10, and in the beginning remarks concerning this vision, we were given a glimpse of spiritual warfare. In chapter 10, verses 13 and 20, we saw angelic forces withstanding each other. And right there also, we would see in verses surrounding those, angelic forces helping each other there in chapter 10. And we would see these forces affecting the nation of the Persians and the Greeks. And as the vision unfolds before us, we're given a series of future conflict that would involve nations. In chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, we see the conflict between the Persians and the Greeks described. Later in chapter 11, we see the conflict between the kings of the south, representing Egypt, and the kings of the north, being Syria. And in this conflict, Israel would be caught in the middle. We found that Israel would suffer extreme blasphemies by one of the Syrian kings, Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, once we reached chapter 11 and verse 36, we enter a portion where there's much discussion and various opinions of the meaning, especially regarding the king that is described in chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. But the time in which the events were described in our text today would be fulfilled. Now again, we must proceed with caution, as we should with any difficult portion of Scripture, especially those involving prophecy. We must be careful not to be dogmatic in our thoughts. But in this study, as we conclude our study of the book of Daniel, let's consider some possibilities for what is spoken of. Now, let's consider the identity of the king and his times. Now, there are several different views. One is that the king is Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria, that he is the vile and blasphemous ruler described in chapter 11, verses 21 through 35. And if that is the case, the time of his persecutions would be around 170 to, and for a few years BC after that. This would be in the time of the Maccabean revolt. Albert Barnes took this position in his commentary. Another view is that the king represents the Roman emperors, those emperors who persecuted the Christians in the early years of the church. Now, if that is the case, the time of this persecution would be from around 60 to 310 to 315 AD in that neighborhood. And that the third possibility is that the king represents an antichrist, some future ruler still to come. And the time of this persecution would be shortly before the return of Christ. This could not possibly be the case, but this is a view held by the premillennialist and some others. Now, not being dogmatic, but Antiochus Epiphanes is a very possible choice here as to who. Now, the allusion in previous verses was undoubtedly toward Antiochus Epiphanes. And we don't have any indication in the scripture here and in this prophecy of any change. In fact, notice verse 36, where it says, "Then the king shall do." Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. And verse 40 points out at that the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. Notice verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And it also points out in chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Michael, notice, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. It said, and at that time your people shall be delivered, at the end of verse 1. Barnes here noted about this, he said, a sudden transition with no given indication is not in accordance with what is usually found in prophetic writing. The word king is never applied to Antichrist, even if there were the, quote, the Antichrist, as the premillennialist line of thinking goes. But the truth is, the Bible only speaks of many Antichrists. Notice 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So the description that follows in our text could be easily applied to the person and time of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, we're certainly not suggesting that there is not some problems with applying the passage to Antiochus Epiphanes and his times. But it does seem to present fewer difficulties than some of the alternative views that can be seen. Now let's give some thought to what is described to come, those events at the time of the end. Let's consider the blasphemies of this king. It said that he shall magnify himself above every god. Verse 36. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of men, shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Speaking blasphemies against the God of gods, prospering till the wrath that has been determined is done. Suggesting that this was allowed by God as part of the divine judgment against Israel here. Verse 35, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. And also now, this is similar as was with the case of Assyria and Israel. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 10, notice the similarities with verses 5 through 12. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy, and to cut off not a few nations. For he says, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad? Is not Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not do also to Jerusalem and her idols? Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his haughty looks. We see that he shall not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, not any God. He shall honor a God of a fortress. Notice verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge, and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and divide the land for gain. Said a God which his fathers did not know. Now some of the scholars think this was perhaps the Roman god Mars or Jupiter. That is speculation. He shall act against the strongest fortresses with this foreign god, rule over many, and divide the land for gain. Barnes, in his commentary, does give considerable thought here to how this could apply to Antiochus. Now let's consider the conquest and the end of this kingdom. We see that the king of the south, Egypt, shall attack him. Verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. Now note that this will occur, this is going to happen at the time of the end. This may help us to understand the meaning of the latter days of the verse we're very familiar with back in chapter 10 and verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. It says the king of the north, likely Antiochus Epiphanes, will respond and overwhelm the countries. Again, let's go to verse 40 and pick up there. At the time of the end, the king of the north shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. So he will be entering the glorious land. The reference here, in all likelihood, to Egypt. Overthrowing many, while in Edom, Moab and Ammon will escape. Excuse me, while Edom, Moab, and Ammon escape, but Egypt will not escape. Even Libyans and Ethiopians will submit, but he will come and meet his end. 44. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. So the news he receives from the east and the north is going to trouble him. That being Persia, likely. He shall proceed to destroy and annihilate many, planting his tents between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. The reference here possibly to Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. History tells us that Antiochus died in 163 BC of a terrible disease. And again, Barnes gives much detail here as to how these events could refer to Antiochus. But now as we go to chapter 12, we find the ultimate victory of Daniel's people. Now this was to occur at that time. Chapter 12, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. It was to be assisted by Michael, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Think back to chapter 10 and verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there alone with the kings of Persia. Chapter 10, verse 21, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Daniel wrote of a time of trouble not seen before. We see the deliverance of Daniel's people at that time. The time just described here, in the time of the conflict involving Antiochus Epiphanes. And verse 2 pointed out that many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. So some to everlasting life, and some will awake to shame and everlasting contempt. Now we might note that this is not likely the physical resurrection of the dead that he's speaking of. For at that time, all, not many, shall be raised. It would have to be symbolic if that's the case. Consider John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which, now notice, all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So it is very unlikely that Daniel would be referring to that great day of judgment at the end of time. And notice now who he said would shine at this time that he's speaking of. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. Those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. Using the figure of the resurrection, this may be a depiction of the Maccabean revolt when the Jews came out of the caves and mountain hideouts to resist Antiochus. Consider chapter 11 now, verses 33 to 35. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. And now as we move forward, we see final instructions and answers are given to Daniel concerning these visions. He is told to shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now maybe what is meant here is to stop writing, to secure the things he has written. We might compare this with chapter 8 and verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Still in chapter 8 now, notice verse 19. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. And same chapter, verse 26. and the vision of the evenings and mornings which were told was told is true. Therefore seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. Both visions, Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12, were to be sealed up. They were concerning things that were many days in the future. Yet, both visions were fulfilled within 200 to 400 years. Now we can put that in contrast with Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. Concerning the revelation given to John. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." The vision of the revelation was not to be sealed, for the time was at hand. How then the explanation of the premillennialist in their belief that many of the events of Revelation have yet to begin some 2,000 years later when John was told they were at hand? Now beginning in verse 5, back to our text, we see two final questions being answered. One question now was something overheard by Daniel. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, "Who was above the waters of the river? How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Daniel saw two others, one on each side of a river bank. One asked the man clothed in linen above the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?" Notice chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now the answer of how long was a time, times, and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. The time, times, and half a time, likely 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days, these terms are commonly used to describe a definite, marked period of tribulation, but not necessarily an exact amount, but general. Daniel 7, verse 25 said, "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time." Consider Revelation chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. "But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 says, Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Also Revelation chapter 12, notice verse 13 and 14. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Chapter 13, verse 5, And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Now when the persecution has accomplished its purpose, then the described things will take place. And now we see the question asked by Daniel, picking up in verse 8. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So Daniel, not understanding what was taking place, asked, What shall be the end of these things? Now notice what Daniel is first told. To go. For the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. And that many shall be purified and the wise shall understand. Again, go back to chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall, to refine them, purify them, and make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. I notice that the wicked shall do wickedly and not understand. Chapter 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. There will be a period of 1,290 days, beginning from the time the daily sacrifice is taken away. Chapter 11, verse 31, And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is set up in verse 31. Those who wait and come to the 1,235 days will be blessed. Now those who wait, now this, whether literal or figurative, these numbered days appear to apply to the period of the Antiochus Epiphanes persecution around 168 B.C. And Daniel is then told to go his way till the end. For he shall rest and arise to his inheritance at the end of the days. Now this end or end of the days may refer to the actual resurrection on the day of judgment, and not necessarily the time of the end that was spoken of throughout the vision. But we have seen that the vision of the time of the end describes events that were going to affect Daniel's people, Israel, and that they would take place in the latter days, for that vision referred to many days yet to come. As we read in chapter 10, verse 14, where it says, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days," for the vision refers to many days yet to come. It will occur in the time of the end. Chapter 11, verse 35 says, "And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time." Chapter 11, verse 40, "At the time of the end of the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through." And here in chapter 12, verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And verse 9, "And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So from the context, it would seem that the time of the end likely refers to the closing days of God's dealings with Israel as his covenant nation, as it led up to God's rejection of them. There definitely seems to be relation to that period between the Old and New Testament days, between Malachi and Matthew. Those years which involved the Greeks and the Persians and the Egyptian and Syrian conflicts. And that is how the phrase is used in the vision of the ram and the goat that depicts many of these same events back in chapter 8. You might especially note in chapter 8, verses 17 and 26. So as we close our study of the book of Daniel, we have certainly found some things that we need to remember and learn from this. Hopefully, Daniel's story has strengthened our faith in God and his word through the fulfillment of these prophecies. We can understand that the book of Daniel describes the rise and fall of world empires, and that God is in control of the nations. This book foretells the establishment of God's everlasting kingdom, as we note in chapter 2. We see the highlight of verse 44. This book depicts the events that would befall the nation and the people of Israel in the visions in chapters 8 through the end of the book. And when we consider the example of Daniel, it should inspire faithfulness to God on our part. As we have studied its examples of dedicated faith and service. The first 6 chapters give us such powerful illustration of the faith of Daniel and of the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3. And there is no doubt that there is much of this book that is difficult and challenging to our understanding, and we may not grasp all of it, but we should never neglect to search it for those golden nuggets of spiritual treasure that God has preserved for His people. And so, let's conclude our study with Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so concludes our study of Daniel. I hope you have benefited from it. Next week, we'll begin a new study. I'm not going to tell you what. You'll have to join in to find out. I hope that the Lord wills we'll be together again next week at this same time. Remember Mornings for the Master tomorrow with Brother Chip Horton. You won't want to miss one of Chip's lessons. So till we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.